Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, man? I'm here in Cleveland with it, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, being a Brown, being in Cleveland, and I'm ready to get to work. I'm right here in my locker, you know, just enjoying the vibe, the atmosphere, and let's get it.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another live episode of the Dogs Podcast. Just Josh and I here, Justin a little bit under the weather, so we gave him the night off. He was given an attendance point, though. We have a no-fault attendance policy here.
That's right.
It's a Dogs Podcast. So it'll probably be a verbal warning, but we'll have to put him on a PIP. But we're confident he'll overcome. So today I think we got a fun episode lined up. Some big news for the Browns, Jerry Jeudy getting extended. Since last week, we hired Mike Vrabel to consult for the Browns, which I think is huge. Signed Tyler Huntley. Just some other stuff to get into. I think it's going to be a good one, so we appreciate you guys being here. Before we dive into everything, though, remember, if you want to get your voicemails or your intros on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap Leave Voicemail on the drop-down menu. You'll find our merch store there. Also, if you're interested in some Dogs merch, if you're watching on YouTube right now, make sure you please like and subscribe. Tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're putting out throughout the off season. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google, as well as all the major social media platforms at the Dogs Podcast. Go watch us on TikTok while you can, because the government, you know, we're all under attack. I hate our government.
It's the worst.
It's really the worst. But I don't know what's going to happen, but for now we're on TikTok. So go watch us there while you can. Why wouldn't the government ban the app that we grew the fastest on?
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't they? Just one more hurdle for the Dogs to overcome. You're not going to take us out that easy, government. So lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, you want more of my political opinions. I'm just kidding. I don't give them that often. Head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member, extra episode every week, access to the private Discord, fantasy football with us during the season. Just a good time. Get to meet people from all over the world. That's jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So diving in today, big news just broke a couple hours ago.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy signs a 3-year extension worth up to $58 million, correct?
Yes.
A good chunk of that fully guaranteed.
41.
41.
Yep.
I know when we first signed him, we thought this was a win-win for the Browns. If he played well, you had your future number one. If he didn't play well, you just let him go. Were you surprised by the extension?
Okay, so looking back last week already? Yeah, we talked about the trade and everything. But I don't know, man. As soon as, you know, we made the trade, we looked at the fifth-year option that we got him on, and it was like, okay, we just did this with Jed Wills. We're probably going to restructure Jerry Jeudy, and then we'll get into some Tony Grossi stuff later. And as much as I can't stand the guy, he had a good tweet the other night that I was like, hey, this is the kind of stuff I would like Tony Grossi to do more of. And he just said, looking at the Jerry Jeudy restructure, they added void years to the end of the contract. That signifies most likely an extension coming, because you don't want to tack on void years and be paying the guy next year and in 2026 when he's not on the team.
Yeah.
So I think as soon as we restructured the extension, I started to expect, I think this might be a thing, and here it comes today. We got him 3 more years.
The biggest reason I'm surprised we extended him is because everybody told me we were going to have to cut our whole team. You know, we were going to be crippled by the Watson contract. We'd never be able to pay anybody ever again. We'd probably have to sell the franchise. We would never be able to field a roster. That was the biggest surprise to me, is because everybody on the internet told me we would never be able to sign another player. I think it's It's a smart move by the Browns. We've seen AB kind of do this where he doesn't like to chase the market. We've seen some wide receivers go for some huge money already this offseason. Yes. And I think we're going to be a lot more of a spread open attack. I think you can see that with the hire of Dorsey, some of the other offensive coaches we've brought in, and some of the backup quarterbacks we've brought in this year. I think it's going to be a way different offense. It's going to be way more spread out. It's going to be 70-30 pass, if I had to guess, 65-35 pass heavy. So if you take the risk where if you didn't extend him now and he blows up this year, you can't keep him then. You know what I mean? Either you can't keep him or you got to give him so much where you're going to have other cap casualties. So is it a risk? What if he comes out this year and he's subpar and he doesn't perform? Is it a little bit of a risk? Maybe, but I trust AB can manage that in some way. I'd much rather do that than chase the market. It's almost a lot like the Njoku.
Yes.
People are like, look at all this money they gave to Njoku, and he hasn't even done anything, blah, blah, blah. But they knew what they had in him.
That's just true. That's
you know what I mean? And comparison. Now, if you were to pay Njoku now, you'd have to give him top two tight end money, which he's probably already pretty close to the top. But if you gave Njoku his extension this offseason as opposed to last offseason, you'd be giving him a lot more money.
Dude, that's an excellent point, actually. And you know, it's not like the Browns went and traded for the only wide receiver they could possibly get their hands on, and he wasn't really the guy they wanted, but he's the one they ended up with. It was not that situation. They wanted him last year. They were trying to trade with the Broncos to get Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland. The asking price was just higher than what the Browns were willing to put forth last year, so we rolled out what we had last year, wait till this year. We get him exponentially cheaper, and, you know, I think that Andrew Berry, I think they evaluated him. They identified him as a guy they would like to have on the team over a year ago, and now they got him. And if you break it down, so if we just look at annual salary, like, you know, I know there's guaranteed money, all that stuff, but if you just look at what they're making on average, the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL is Tyreek Hill at $30 million a year. So let's just talk about, AB does this a lot. He likes to do the going rate for guys, right? Because we saw that with Deshaun Watson. What was the going rate? Well, it doesn't matter what it is now because we've got him at the going rate 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which has jumped a lot now. That's why he's like the seventh or eighth highest paid quarterback in the league. But if you just look at the average, this breaks down, I think it's like $19.3 million per year for Jerry Jeudy. That would slot him right in between Deontay Johnson, who just got traded to the Panthers, at 18.4, and Chris Godwin at 20. So his contract falls right in between those two on the list of, you know, the most paid receivers.
And I think considering the quarterback play he's had in the dumpster fire that was Denver's offense and some of the numbers that he was still able to put up, I don't think that's a terrible spot for him. It's considering his upside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're not going to get high upside guys. Like you're not getting them for $5 million.
Who?
You know what I mean? Like I think I just saw Mike Williams just signed for $15 million.
Yes,
and that dude can't even stay. He plays two games a year.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone was wondering why aren't we going after Mike Williams, $15 million is why we didn't go after Mike Williams.
Yes. So I know some people. It might not have been the wide receiver splash some people were expecting. We even had a couple guys in our Discord who thought we were still going to make some huge splashy move and they wanted some big name wide receiver. And to me, this wide receiver is plenty good enough if Deshaun plays at the level that he's expected to play at.
Right.
You need your quarterback to elevate your wide receivers. This wide receiver, is this the top wide receiver core in the NFL? No. But between Cooper and Jeudy and Njoku and a lot, like top to bottom, it's a top half of the league wide receiver core. And if you can couple that with a quarterback who you expect to play like a top 5 to 7 QB, then you should have no problem being explosive on offense.
No.
Especially if you can bring back a healthy Nick Chubb.
Yeah. At some point, right? But I think that, I don't know. I know that there are people definitely mixed and split on the Jerry Jeudy thing, but I'm definitely on the optimistic, positive side of it. I think that he's got some very, very high potential. And it's not like he hasn't shown it. That's the thing. It's not like we're just banking on, well, he was really good in college. The dude had some pretty impressive seasons in Denver. We detailed that last episode with awful quarterback play. We're talking Drew Lock, Brett Rippon kind of quarterback play.
Over 800 yards as a rookie.
Yeah.
Put him up there with DPJ's best year.
Yep. Right out the gate.
Right out the gate, you know, and then quarterback play only went down from there. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he started with a great quarterback.
That's right. And we said the season that they had historically one of the worst offensive outputs in NFL history, the Denver Broncos. Jerry Jeudy, that was the year he almost had 1,000 yards.
Well, and let's not forget, he played for Nathaniel Hackett.
That's the year. Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay, yep. And what other offense was historically bad last year? It was the Jets.
The Jets, yes.
And who was their offensive coordinator? It was Nathaniel Hackett. You can, and so you can put blame on Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is not as bad as Nathaniel Hackett made him look. You know what I mean? Because we watched him as soon as he left. Russell Wilson he kind of got scapegoated out in Denver, and Sean Payton is a little bit of an egomaniac. But Russell Wilson had good numbers last year.
He did.
As soon as he took away Nathaniel Hackett, he went back to being a pretty decent quarterback. So it's one of those deals where the upside for him is very high. And it's not like he's been a scrub in the NFL. He's been a very solid player to put next to a guy like Cooper, who he's looked up to and can play with him. I don't know. To me, it's all positives. And I hate when people talk about the money, because it's not mine.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I've heard some people talking about, this is why the Steelers are so much better than the Browns, because the Browns put this much money into their QB room, talking about Watson and Winston, and then the Steelers go get Wilson and Fields for only this much money. Well, guess Jimmy Haslam's got it. It's not my money. I don't care how much money they spend on players. As long as Andrew Berry can make it work in the cap and it doesn't hinder building the rest of the roster, which it's not. I don't care if you pay him $1 billion. It's not my money.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? Why do people who paycheck watch are so weird to me? Why are you so concerned with another grown man's paycheck?
Yeah. If you don't like what you're getting paid, go out and get a better job or work harder, whatever you got to do. But that was another Tony Grossi post the other night that kind of, I commented on it and said, this is not the flex you think it is. He was comparing the Steelers QB. Dude, quit talking about Pittsburgh. The Steelers QB room contract to the Browns, and everybody was popping in there. And I said, too, that's because the Broncos are paying Russell Wilson $40 million this year.
Yeah.
It's not like he's playing for $1.2 million in Pittsburgh. He's playing for, what, $41.2 million. He's making $40 from another freaking team to play for another team.
Yes, the only reason you have him is because Sean Payton is so much of like a maniac that he just couldn't stand to even be in the same room with him.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you got in. We don't even know, like, I think Russ will play well there. I'm on the record saying I think, like, the Steelers have done really well this free agency, and I definitely see them as a legitimate threat. Not obviously in the AFC North. They always are,
yeah.
But like, he's going to be, I think he'll be very good for them. But Justin Fields, as much as I think Chicago did him dirty, and I think he still has a ton of upside, you don't know what you're getting on Justin Fields. Of course you got him for nothing. The Bears completely tanked his career and then tanked any trade value it had by waiting forever to trade him.
Exactly. And I've said that to a lot of people in arguments the last 2 days since he's been traded, and saying, you know, I know they got him for a sixth, and that seems like, oh my gosh, he was like a great fantasy quarterback, but just because he was a good fantasy quarterback doesn't mean the NFL thinks he's a great NFL on the field quarterback. And if the sixth round pick was the going rate for Justin Fields, that's what the NFL values him at.
Yeah. So just, I don't understand like why you care about the money. And like when you talk about our quarterbacks, especially Deshaun, like you said, he's like the seventh or eighth highest quarterback. Now all the guaranteed money, blah, blah, blah. All the quarterbacks are going to make all their money.
Yes.
Like Joe Burrow is going to get all of his $275 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
So people are just, it's so dumb. And to be, when I say people, I'm talking about like fans around the league and a contingent of Browns fans. It's unbelievable.
A contingent of very loud Browns
fans. Yeah. So I think the Jeudy signing or extension, not only just the trade, but the extension, I think it's a good move by the Browns. I mean, if you look around their offense, a lot of these dudes are locked up now for like the window. We thought, oh man, this is our window. We're keeping the window open by being smart, in my opinion.
Oh, 100% agree with that. And then just one last note on this like Watson contract thing that I keep thinking about it, because yesterday was the 2 year anniversary since we made the trade for him and everything. And if you remember, it was an intense bidding war between four teams And who was going to get Deshaun Watson? It was the Browns, Falcons, Panthers, and Saints. So the Browns get Deshaun Watson. Just would you feel better going into 2024 knowing that he's locked in as your QB1, or would you rather be doing the Panthers quarterback situation, the Falcons quarterback situation before Kirk Cousins, of course, yeah, or the Saints quarterback situation? You know what I mean? All three of those teams have very much struggled in the quarterback department, and they've kind of sucked as a result of it because they missed out on this bidding war.
I guess some people would say Deshaun hasn't been the reason for our success.
Which is fair.
But I also think having Deshaun on the roster is a reason we got a couple free agents.
Yes, that's that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you can say whatever you want if you think he's good or not. The players in the league think he's good still.
And I see all the time people say, oh, the team hates him. You hate him.
Yes.
The team does not hate
him. The team definitely does not. The team 100% does not hate him. You've never heard anything from a teammate's mouth negative.
All the way back
anywhere he's ever played. Mm-mm.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, Easter is almost here, and what's everybody going to do for Easter? We're all getting together with family and friends, and we're going to have a great meal together. So why not make that great meal the best meal you can get with Omaha Steaks? They are doing their 50% off site-wide sale right now still. And if you go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out, you'll get 30 extra dollars off your order. That's a great deal with the price of meat and food and everything so high right now. It's ridiculous. Get over there, get great food for great prices. And what I would suggest for Easter, go over to the menu, scroll down to other meats, go to the hams. And when you get in there, scroll down. I don't know why they have this stuff at the bottom of the page. Easter packages right here. Build your own custom Easter dinner for 4. Build your own custom Easter dinner for 8. Create your own Easter dinner in general. Get everything you need. The ham, the sides, everything that you need for a great Easter meal is right here at Omaha Steaks. And with that code DOGS, you get $30 off your order. So go order everything for Easter right now. That way you're ready to go, you're prepared, and you don't have to worry about it. Enjoy Easter with your family. Take the stress out of figuring out what you're going to do. Get the food ready to go now. OmahaSteaks.com/dogs. Promo code DOGS. Get $30 off your order. Minimum order may apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So kind of moving on, another other big news, but honestly, maybe the most excited I've been this entire offseason so far was the Browns going out, hiring Mike Vrabel to be a consultant.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody said, what is he going to do? I think he's just going to do a little bit of everything.
I heard a little more specifically, I think this did come out of the Browns when they were trying to elaborate on this. They said he's going to act primarily as a sounding board for Kevin Stefanski because Kevin's got a lot of new coaches on the staff. And he's going to kind of help mentor the younger guys like Tommy Rees and what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name.
We just got from UConn.
Yes, from UConn. And, you know, the younger guys who have not had any NFL experience yet whatsoever. And just Mike Vrabel, he's a personnel consultant as well. So bouncing ideas off of him about different players and things, I'm sure.
I heard that Stefanski was going to kind of use him as like a soundboard. Like right. You said, bouncing ideas off of. To some, I wanted to talk about this too. Like when the news initially broke, people were like, Vrabel, he's the Stefanski replacement. No, he's not. Stefanski's the 2-time coach of the year. And he's been coach of the year 50% of the last 4 seasons.
Yep.
So no, he's not. I hate when people talk about Stefanski's ego. Nothing shows you don't have an ego by going out and hiring a hot up and coming candidate. And what I mean, like good coach, I don't mean hot. Bubba Ventrone's a good looking guy, but he was like a hot name in coaching in terms of an up and coming guy. You know what I mean? And you go get him, and then you go get a guy who's won a Super Bowl in Jim Schwartz. You put him on your staff to work for you. And then you put out one of the guys who was coach of the year in between the 2 times you were in a consulting role on your team.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you do all this before you've gotten your extension. So don't tell me he has an ego. He's very comfortable in his role. He knows he's not going anywhere. And he's just surrounding himself with a lot of guys who can give him different. He's not surrounding himself with yes men.
Correct. And that's the point I was going to make. Egotistical people do not surround themselves with people that are as smart or smarter than them. And they don't try to get the best minds in the room because they think they're the smartest person in the room. Kevin doesn't think that. He, like you said, last year, Jim Schwartz, and we heard the same bull crap about Jim Schwartz as soon as we hired him. Well, after four games, if Kevin isn't, 3-1, they're going to fire him and put Jim Schwartz ahead. No, guys, stop it. And now we're hearing the same crap about Vrabel. Maybe we're not afraid to get good coaches in here and good coaches want to come here. I mean, it's not like Vrabel had his hands tied behind his back and said, okay, I have to go to he wants to be here.
How a guy like Vrabel never in a million years would have showed his face in Cleveland 10 years ago.
You think he's coming here under Hugh Jackson?
No.
No.
And you want to know who had an ego, who wanted yes men? It was Hugh Jackson.
Exactly. And look how that worked out.
You know what I mean? Like, just go back and watch Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. That is it. No accountability. Only wants yes men. I'm the head coach. Everybody look at me. I'm the smartest guy. Whatever decision I make, I never want questioned. That was Hugh Jackson. I don't believe Stefanski is that way at all. We've talked to player in the locker room who says he's a great guy and the team loves him. So this is not a Stefanski replacement. This is Stefanski showing I went everything at my disposal to put the best team on the field that I can.
Look how many guys have come back. If the coaching staff, you see it all the time. Free agents don't want to come back to teams where the coaching staff sucks. They're just like, thank God I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I'll go sign somewhere else and play there. I mean, we're getting our entire defensive line is coming back for the most part. Like, and seasoned veterans, Za'Darius Smith wants to be here.
Yeah. And he's been kind of a guy who's kind of been like one season here, one season. Yeah. Some people we heard when we signed him, like, good luck with him, his attitude. He's model citizen here.
And Jordan Hicks, I don't know if you saw that dude is jacked to be here. Like, yeah. He's very excited to be on this Cleveland Browns defense playing for this coaching staff. So I keep telling people all the time, like on Twitter and stuff, you can drop the loser mentality that we as Browns fans had to have because the team sucked for so long, because that's not the situation anymore. It's okay to just say, hey, things are pretty damn good right now in Cleveland. Just enjoy it. This front office is just killing it right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I do. Somebody said I was reading the wrong thing. Vrabel's biding his time here for a year till he takes over in Columbus. Here's the deal. This is the most excited I've ever been for a Buckeyes season. Going a little off the rails here, but we're all Buckeyes fans, I hope. And I've been down on Ryan Day, but he's got everything at his disposal. To me, this is a make or break year for Ryan Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think some of these other teams, like Bama just lost Saban, like some of these other teams are maybe weaker than they've been. I don't keep up with college recruiting and stuff like that. But I do know that Ohio State added an insane amount of talent in the portal and in recruiting. So I would love Vrabel to be in Columbus if Ryan Day fails. I want Ryan Day to succeed because that means we probably won a national championship this year.
Correct.
So I'm not rooting for the downfall of Ryan Day, but if it does happen, I would love for Vrabel to be back in Columbus. I did want to address the chat here because we're moving along a nice swift pace. Gage and Lamar going back and forth, Aaron going back and forth about why Lamar has to be the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl to be considered successful and all this. He doesn't. I think everybody in the world who watches football thinks Lamar is very good. And I think we all know the Ravens are very good. The pushback is you come in here and you talk like you've won something.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you have just as much to show for all of that as we do. You're the regular season champs. Congratulations. You know why we don't talk shit about Justin Herbert? Chargers fans aren't in our chat talking like they won the last 10 Super Bowls.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You know, we do talk crap to the Bengals, but we don't talk crap about like the quarterback in reference because they don't come in here talking like Joe Burrow is the reason they won the last 5 Super Bowls.
Correct.
Yeah. It's like, that is why we push back on you. It's not because we don't think Lamar is good or the Ravens aren't good. It's because you talk like you talk the way Chiefs fans should be talking. Or, 20-year Patriots fans for a time. You've won nothing in the last 10 years.
Right.
So that's the pushback. Speaking of the Ravens, another move the Browns made this week, kind of a surprising move, signed backup quarterback Tyler Huntley. This is a guy who I was talking about in years past. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have on the team as a potential Baker replacement.
Do you remember that episode that we did talking about quarterbacks before we traded for Deshaun Watson? And the two guys, who were the two guys we talked about?
Talked about Jameis Winston and Huntley.
And Tyler Huntley. And now they're both the backup quarterbacks in Cleveland. So it's kind of crazy.
This was a surprising move to me.
Okay.
Go ahead. Does it say a couple different things? Does it say Deshaun's not going to be ready week one? I don't know. Does it say they're not as high on DTR? I don't know. I think the one thing it says for sure is the offense is going to be much different. That's what it says to me.
That's definitely what it says to me. And I see the stuff about, well, what does it say in terms of Deshaun being ready or DTR's development and all that kind of stuff. But I saw a post, and I forget who shared it on Twitter, but looking back at Andrew Berry's 4 years, the Browns always have four quarterbacks throughout the offseason and training camp. Last year, they had three until they drafted DTR, and then they had four. So it was, you know, Deshaun and Kellen Mond and Dobbs and DTR. So this year, it's the same kind of group of four guys. They all have that same similar skill set.
I do find it funny, a funny sentiment that the Browns now have three Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
Man, whenever I saw somebody tagged us in that on Twitter, I was like, don't open up to that shit. Cause we talk so much crap to Tyler Huntley about, even he knows his Pro Bowl wasn't real. I mean, come on.
No, I agree, but he's still
a good backup quarterback.
I like his skill set. The Browns backup QB room now is loads better than it was last year.
And I think that's the other thing it tells me too, is that again, Andrew Berry does not make the same mistake twice. I don't think so. You know, last year he felt confident enough in Deshaun and the health of the quarterback position. We'll roll with DTR. And then as he learned, and as a lot of GMs and coaches learned throughout the NFL last year, you got to have support in the backup quarterback role because guys get hurt. It just happens. It sucks, but it's the NFL. It's the way it goes. So he definitely built a stronger backup position this season.
And I think now you're seeing guys who all have similar skill sets. The least mobile one is Jameis, but he can still move a little bit. I think you're seeing an offense, like I said earlier in the episode, it's going to be way more spread out, shotgun, throwing the ball around, all that good stuff. I think I said, what does this mean for DTR's future? He's going to be the odd man out in terms like he's going to be a practice squad QB. I don't know if we'll carry three guys on the active roster, but DTR is the only one with practice squad eligibility. So unless we're going to cut Huntley, because you're not cutting Jameis. So unless you cut Huntley, he's got to be on the active roster. You're going to be carrying three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Good point. I think a good point I saw online, this was from Quincy Carrier. He said the Browns might trade DTR. That's what it smells like to me. Contrary to popular belief, his play style is very different than DW4. He's more similar to Brock Purdy. If the offense was moving away from Joe Flacco, it was also moving away from DTR. I completely agree. People talked about DTR's mobility, but he wasn't big enough to be a mobile quarterback. He's not big. I don't want DTR running around a ton out there. You know what I mean?
He's a slender dude.
Like, he can move a little bit if he needs to, but like he said, he's much more a Brock Purdy type quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think DTR could be on the way out, which would be kind of crazy. They'd give up on him after 1 year. But I think you've seen that the Browns are able to not, like, they don't make emotional decisions, in my opinion. Like, it's business and it's calculated, and they're good people and they're good to their people. But at the end of the day, it's like about production and it's a business, and you got to do what you got to do to get the best team out there. It'll be interesting to see what we do with DTR going forward.
It's a good point because, you know, you see this with a lot of the draft picks from Andrew Berry. They're good. They usually what Andrew Berry likes to do. He likes to fill out the roster, the starting kind of primary spots with free agents. He's really good at that. And then he likes to draft for development and future. I think it's a very smart move. It's been working for the Browns pretty well. So DTR, though, you know, he's not ever going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Like, the we're going into the season with DTR as the starter. That's never going to happen because as long as he's here, we have Deshaun Watson. And with all the void years, the restructures, they've already talked about Deshaun Watson on a 10-year timeline. And I don't think the Browns want to roll with DTR ever as like the guy.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't think he could. I love the kid. I don't know if he can develop into anything like that.
No, I agree. And Andrew says new rules say we can carry three active quarterbacks. They won't all count to the 53-man roster. I need to get better at understanding this emergency quarterback. I always thought that was like a guy who was practice squatted throughout the week that on game day could dress as your emergency. If it's you can have three active QBs and a practice squad guy, then okay, but then maybe they're all on the team. I think a hidden thing about Huntley is, well, one, it's insight to the Ravens locker room.
It's true.
You know what I mean? He knows that team. He knows their information, all that good stuff. And it's a guy who can be a Lamar in practice. It's hard to simulate Lamar. And I'm not saying Tyler Huntley is Lamar, but he's very similar in play style in terms of mobility and throwing mm-hmm. and that gets. It's hard to replicate that if you don't have, I mean, a lot of times you hear teams are using wide receivers to try to replicate that. Now you're getting a guy who you can put out there who can help prepare you for your toughest test in the division. So I think that's like a little bit of a hidden perk to him being on this team is some insight into one of your biggest division rivals.
Oh, I fully agree.
And what about the year of just the FU to your old teams?
Oh, yeah.
Saquon going to the Eagles, yep. Patrick Queen going to the Steelers, now Huntley coming to the Browns. It's hopefully nobody from the Browns signs with a division rival.
Well, I think everybody that was leaving from the Browns that
they already got signed.
Yeah, was an impactful player has already been signed.
So, but I think that's a hidden perk that I don't know if a lot of people have thought about it from that point of view. Is it just kind of it's a little bit of anything you can get to get an edge when you're playing a division rival. I think it helps. Just kind of transitioning then in talking from the quarterback room. I know you want to talk about the Flacco Winston debate, which we haven't had a chance to talk about this since the last episode. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, we've been talking all offseason because it's been the topic of Joe Flacco for the Browns in 2024. And I feel like we've kind of had the conversation, three of us on the show talking, I don't know if he comes back. I mean, we love what he did. It was great. It was a ton of fun. Just don't really know if he comes back. I mean, he's 39 years old, threw a shit ton of interceptions. Like, he just doesn't really fit the mold for what people don't remember. He was a last resort last year. And when we signed him, even we on the show were like, really, Joe Flacco? You know, and nobody expected him to come out and do what he did. So that's why whenever it kind of started with Mary Kay and the Cleveland media was cracking me up because on Twitter, if you follow her at all, it was she was pushing hard to get Joe Flacco back in Cleveland. Everything that she wrote, it was all emotional, you know, opinion pieces about why the Browns need Joe, bring him back, all this stuff. And then it immediately turned to, well, it looks like the Browns might be signing Jameis Winston. And then she went back to like something about, oh, wait, no, we need Joe Flacco. Never mind, we signed Jameis Winston. And so she was back and forth trying to get her wishes, you know, completed through Andrew Berry, which didn't happen, obviously. And then Tony Grossi, I thought, was going to have a mental collapse online when we signed Jameis Winston. And it all started, so he tweeted this out. I don't know. He must have written this article real quick for Land on Demand, which if you're paying for that, okay. But anyway, so his article was Browns didn't even offer Joe Flacco the NFL minimum. And his post said Browns didn't want shadow of Joe Flacco hanging over Deshaun Watson. Okay, dude, you need to maybe chill out a little bit. First of all, Deshaun Watson is a 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback making $230 million guaranteed over his time in Cleveland. There ain't no shadow big enough to hang over Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry. Just not happening. And so since then, though, he has changed that post on Twitter because he got a lot of backlash on that. But it was whenever we announced Jameis Winston was signed, just an incredible development. Okay, they were talking about for like 2 days before this.
If you can't come back, you would have been back right away.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ken confirmed Browns didn't even offer Joe Flacco a split minimum contract, which is even a worse offer than full minimum. Shake my head. The team season was saved last year by a backup quarterback. They won without Watson. Weren't you watching?
I don't. One.
And hang on. There's more of this, too. I'm trying to go back through all his stuff. Because he was losing his mind. Oh, here we go. Quieting the "if he's so good, how come nobody signs him" crowd. Same deal the Browns gave to Winston whenever it came out that Joe Flacco was an $8.7 million, $4.5 million guarantee, which is basically the same as James Scott.
We're bitching about a backup quarterback who's 39 years old.
Exactly.
And here's the deal is Flacco's success has more to do with Kevin Stefanski than it does with Joe Flacco. I don't want to take anything away from the guy, but he hadn't played like that in ever.
No, and the Browns had to revert some offensive philosophies last year because we had our running game was ass. The running backs weren't very good. The offensive line was a lot of backups. I mean, things were decimated.
Yeah.
So Kevin and Joe it clicked at the right time in the right place. But I mean, Flacco actually got $500,000 more guaranteed than Winston. He'll also back up a dual threat quarterback. Is that really a scheme fit? You have no idea what the Browns scheme is. Guess what? Neither do they. I hope the Browns know what their offensive scheme is going to be. They brought in a freaking ton of different guys to develop this.
Well,
it just blows my mind.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
And here's the thing. I actually got a text from my dad about it was a joke to sign Jameis and not Flacco. I was like, well, one, why? I said, Jameis can play. I'm not saying he's a perennial Pro Bowler, but Jameis Winston can play football at the National Football League. He's not 39 years old. And to everybody who loves Joe, he was a turnover machine. The only thing you rag on Jameis for is his turnovers. That was Joe Flacco. If you go back and watch the games, listen, I appreciate everything Joe is doing for us. He was playing with house money. He was just chucking it. You look at so many of his throws, and so many of them either could have been picked, should have been picked,
yeah.
And a ton of them were picked.
Yep. Yes.
You know what I mean? But he was just playing with house money. He's just out there winging it, and people were making plays like that. You're not gonna live and die with that. We're gonna change the system. Jameis Winston, for the record, threw for over 5,000 yards in one season and over 30 touchdowns. He threw 30 picks.
But
what do you think Joe Flacco was on pace to? The guy that you just can't get enough of. So it's just, we are not bitching about a backup QB. We're bitching about the starting QB. No, you're not. I didn't hear anybody say, we should have signed Flacco because he's going to be our starter. No, you're mad we signed Flacco or Winston over Flacco. No, and DW, like I said this a million times, I knew we weren't bringing Joe Flacco back because the fan base couldn't handle it. Why would you put this guy behind your starter, and then if your starter throws one bad pass, the entire crowd will lose their mind? If you wanted Joe Flacco back, then you as a fan base should have shown that you are mentally tougher than four-year-olds for the last 30 years.
And just remember, if you were demanding Joe Flacco come back and also that he be the starter over Deshaun Watson, how many Browns quarterbacks can go out in the wild card game and throw back-to-back pick sixes and
it still
be the fan favorite? Come on, guys.
Come on. You sound dumb. Again, if you're really that sad that the Flack, it's your fault. Because this is a fan base that has been slobbing on the knob of the backup quarterback of this team since I was born. There's been no more popular person than the backup quarterback in Cleveland. And I know Josh's camera went black. We've been having some technical issues. We were hoping to avoid them for the whole episode, but there we go. but yeah, you've been upset and you make it loud. The media is terrible. They'll write articles about the backup needs to be getting in. So yes, Deshaun Watson could handle Joe Flacco being on it because he's secure in his contract and he knows what he can do on the field. You are not secure enough. You would bitch and complain. You would be a distraction. And if you're the Cleveland front office, why would you do that to your starter? It's the same reason Tim Tebow's not on a team anywhere. Obviously, he's that older now, but immediately after he wins a game in Denver in the playoffs and they ship him out, nobody wanted him. He went to he couldn't stick anywhere. It's because you want your backup to be a guy who can come in and play but when he's not in, you don't even want people to know who your backup is.
And the only time that you get a backup that might be a guy who could come in and play and maybe start for you is whenever you've got a quarterback competition.
Yeah. There's no competition here.
Zero.
So it's again, you don't. Why, if they put somebody a distraction on the team, all you would do is complain about how the front office is causing distractions and they don't know what they're doing and they're causing problems. There's no winning with some
of
you people.
And because, and I saw somebody post this too, and I fully agree. The Browns brought back Joe Flacco. The Cleveland shitty media would have been pushing that narrative all training camp.
Yeah.
To get Flacco in there to be the starter. Flacco was the savior. You know, forget about Watson. Get Flacco. The Cleveland media is this is where everything resonates from. Like all the discourse in the fan base and the hatred among people over stupid things.
It's the reason we have a podcast.
I've told people that. I said, because people will say, oh, I don't watch RBS anymore. I said, RBS was one of the main reasons why we started this podcast. Because we just couldn't stand it anymore.
Why do you two love DW4? We don't go back and watch like any episodes. And I've said he needs to play better. The problem is I'm just not a moron. I can think about football decisions critically and understand you don't bring back a distraction as your backup. You don't bring back a 39-year-old who led the league in turnovers in 7 games. It's a flash in the pan. And good for Joe Flacco. I agree with him, or I'm happy what he did, and I'm happy he went and got a contract, but he wasn't going to be a starter anywhere.
Right.
Okay. And it's more about the fact that Kevin Stefanski can just make a meal out of crap with these quarterbacks he's done. He did it with Baker for a season. He did it with Jacoby Brissett for a season. And he just did it with a combination of quarterbacks last year, and culminating in Joe Flacco. Yeah. It had way more to do with Kevin Stefanski than it does with Joe Flacco. Now, credit Joe Flacco. He went to a team that also has another great offensive mind. So if he has to go in, I'm sure Steichen will be able to.
Yeah, it'll work out. It'll be all right.
Do something with him. But yes, you don't put a distraction. You want a nameless gray face as your backup.
And the thing with Deshaun Watson, he's here. Like, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Browns for a while. And I know there's a lot of people that are upset about that, but personally I'm not. And I see a lot of people that seem to be very, very confused and forgetting already that in 2022, he's never played a full season here. I know the Browns traded for him and signed him knowing he wasn't going to play a full season the first one.
Yes.
Like they were okay with that. Now, as a fan, you might not be okay with that, but the team was okay, fine. And then this year he broke his shoulder. Well, that sucks. But it's a fluke accident, man. I mean, you saw how many quarterbacks got injured this year, and it's only the second time he's had a injury that forced him to miss time in his career.
Yeah, nobody's talking crap about Joe Burrow.
Yeah, or Justin Herbert.
Joe Burrow's ended 2 of his 4 seasons on IR.
Lamar finished the last 2 years before this past one on IR.
Yeah, it turns out it's a contact sport. People get hurt.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I saw from Deshaun Watson as the games progressed, and I know we talk about that Ravens game all the time, but those are the kind of games that you need a quarterback with his capabilities. Do you think Joe Flacco's doing that? Coming back in that game and making 14 of 14 passes and not turning the ball over in the second half and leading the team to a comeback victory?
Considering he couldn't play a game without turning it over, I'd say no. I was so geeked when we got DW. Still believe he's the best quarterback the Browns have ever had. But even for me, it's time. Needs to happen this year. If not, it was a massive mistake. I agree with like 98% of what you said. This is a make or break year for me mentally, but it's again, like if it doesn't go well this year and he's hurt again or whatever, and then we go to the Super Bowl in the fourth year of his contract, nobody's going to remember this year.
Exactly.
So we have to reserve judgment. And I told my old man this, I won't grade the contract until the contract is done. And then two, even if worst case scenario at the end of the contract, it was awful. We never get anywhere. He's hurt most of his time. When he plays, it's not good enough. I'd still make the move 100 times out of 100 because I want my team to be aggressive, be ballsy, not be afraid to take the big swing, and to go out there and try to get better and win a Super Bowl. You're not going to do that sitting on your hands. Just like everybody who's complaining about it, you would have complained if we didn't upgrade.
Exactly. And you mentioned this earlier in the show already. The things that having Deshaun Watson on the team allows us to do is totally worth the move in and of itself. I mean, we have, and whether you agree with it or not, we have a franchise quarterback capable of playing at a high level. Other free agents want to come here and play.
Correct.
And that, even if he's hurt like last year and not on the field, guess what? Those guys who wanted to come here and play because he's here, they're still here on the field playing and winning games. And that's why we were able to do the things we were able to do last year. So we don't have to worry about the quarterback position in the draft or free agency or try to make a trade. Like the Browns are good. They don't, that position is taken care of. They don't have to worry about it. And as long as that one's taken care of, it makes all these other ones much easier to put together.
Yeah. I saw the biggest reasons I heard people, they didn't want the money. They don't like the money he got. It was going to cripple the franchise. Giving up all the picks was going to set our franchise back. Well, one, we have second most cap space in the league right now. Two, this is our last year without a first round draft pick, and our roster is still loaded. Yep. We're right back to having first round draft. We're literally back at square one next year.
Yeah.
And we're coming off an 11 win season. So all the reasons, all the football reasons I've heard why they didn't want the trade and we gave up too much, blah, 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 blah. None of it has come to fruition.
Nope. None of it's hurt us one bit.
So it's just people are just, they don't think. They read headlines and then they just react. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks. Drives me nuts.
No, there's not a lot of critical thinking going on in society right now.
Like anywhere. So then lastly, just to kind of touch on some of the other free agents, I thought another good move was signing Devin Bush.
Okay. Yep.
So I don't know if we have any. Started his career with Pittsburgh. He was in what, Seattle?
Yeah, no. Last year he was in Seattle.
Seattle, another young guy.
Top 10 pick. He's 25.
Yeah, so he's, I think, 25 you're seeing old guys, AB's adding guys that are presumably entering the primes of their career.
Yes. Now, I did see a tweet. Have you seen a lot of this stuff? And I think it's coming out a lot from the Pittsburgh fan base that Devin Bush, high missed tackle rate, he sucks ever since he tore his ACL in his second season, all that kind of stuff. So Matt Wilson on Twitter put this out, and he said, the amount of slander that is being spread about Devin Bush is insane. The guy had one of the lowest missed tackle percentages in the league over the last three seasons, and his play in Seattle when he was on the field was above average. It's crazy how fan bases and media can paint a bad picture early on, and everybody just goes with it. Talk about not being able to think for yourself. He says, what they coincidentally didn't say is that when you look at his 2023 season, based on the games he played over just 40% of defensive snaps, he was on a 17-game pace, 40% of snaps, Devin Bush, 17-game pace for 170 tackles, 20 tackle for loss, with only two missed tackles on the year. I'll take it.
Yeah, a ton of upside.
I'll take it.
He was a highly touted, big-time pick. You match him up in a defense with a guy like JOK, Hicks, Miles, Zadarius, like, he can do some things. As long as he's healthy and on the field, he can do some things. I thought that was a very good signing by the Browns. I think you saw the Browns go out and just, they didn't need to take big swings. Exactly. They had a couple holes they needed to fill with some good players, but the core is there and the core is signed. And the core is very high level. Like you always talk about, at the key money positions, we have guys locked up and they're premier players, corner, edge, I mean, both edges, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. We have all these key positions locked up.
Yeah. And that's why whenever we're looking ahead next month to the draft and people keep asking, what do you guys think they do with, you know, the second round pick? Whatever they want to do. They put themselves in the position where they don't need anybody right now to like come in and play meaningful snaps and start right away. I said the other night, I wouldn't be surprised if we took an edge rusher just to, because you can never have enough good edge rushers. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a quarterback, you know, because we don't know what they're going to do with Newsom yet. And you always need cornerbacks. So I could see them offensive linemen, I think, could be another thing because we need to start getting out in front of the guard situation, I think, specifically since Betonio's 33. He could retire soon. Teller, we don't know how long he's going to be here. So, but the Browns are in a sweet position right now.
It would have been organic. We got crappy DW4. He's not even better than Baker. I'm done reading that, guys. Come on now. Come on. Baker had a good year. We congratulated him. Let's see if he can have two in a row.
Yeah, for the first time ever.
For the first time ever. And he played in the worst division in football.
And now, I know we'll do some predictions and stuff later on in the summer, but Atlanta, all you know, they got the new coaching staff, I think, is key. I think they got a good head coach, and he brought a great offensive coordinator, I think, with him. And now they got Kirk Cousins. I think they could be pretty damn good.
Aaron said, John Nye, how you been? How you come back? Aaron, why are you so nice to everybody but me?
Oh, he's not nice to me.
I feel like we have, like, I get mad at you sometimes, but I mean, it's like.
But you're dumb.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
Not you.
I get mad at even Justin sometimes, but he still likes me. What do you think? You were talking about the linemen. I guess we still got a little bit of time here to fill. What do they do at right tackle this year if Conklin doesn't retire?
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Jed Wills too, because they restructured him. So there's void years on his contract. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going to end up. My hope is Jed Wills actually picks up where he left off before the injury, where we were like, hey, the dude's starting to play a lot better and steps up his game. At right tackle is going to be interesting because DeJuan Jones needs to be on the field.
I don't think he will be if Conklin doesn't retire.
That's crazy.
Jack Conklin's an NFL vet, former, you know.
Two-time All-Pro.
Two-time All-Pro, and he's making a lot of money.
Yes, he is.
And sometimes in the NFL, if it's apples to apples, it's going to be whatever apples are getting paid more is going to be the one on the field. Yeah, so
you're not wrong.
I think there will be, and then if he struggles a little bit, Conklin, it's going to be it'll be tough. Like, he's going to hear it. The fan base is going to be loud. Jack Conklin seems like a great guy. I would just be like, just please retire. What I mean? Like, I don't want, I guess it sounds mean, but it's just one of those deals where DeJuan Jones played so well.
Well, and then you get to the situation where it's, okay, so we've got three starting caliber tackles, and how many of those tackles did we end the season with last year? Zero, because they were all on IR. So is it just like a luxury having three starting tackles and just see what happens? I don't know.
No, you got to play the better player, Jack Sitz. I think you can make the argument, though, that if he's completely healthy, Jack Conklin's still a high-level right tackle in this league.
Yeah, and I mean, it does give you that flexibility of if Jed struggles again, you could try moving one of those two guys over to left tackle for a game or two to see just how they do.
Yeah, I think we saw DeJuan Jones at left tackle a little bit last year at camp.
Preseason, a little bit too.
But from what I heard, like, it wasn't great. So, I don't know.
And the thing is, he's great at right tackle. Great.
Yeah. So, it's a tough situation. It'll be curious to see what happens there. You would think if Conklin was going to retire, he would have done it already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's getting, especially as we get closer to the draft, like, the Browns got to be pushing him, like, hey, man, we got to know what we need to do in terms of free agency and the draft coming up. Like, we need to know what we need to do for the team. So that'll be interesting to watch. I heard, do you think they trade back?
I said that too. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade back just because.
I really hope not.
We've only got five picks this year. I could see. The thing is, if we get to that spot in the second round, and you know Andrew Berry's not afraid to do this, and if he says, hey, there's really nobody here I'm in love with for this pick, and somebody's pining to get up here to grab somebody, yeah, I'll grab a couple extra picks in a trade back. Doesn't mean he's going to go two rounds back or anything crazy. Maybe he just drops back a little further in the second or just early third. It just depends on who's on the board, honestly.
I thought we had a Patreon member bring up a good point. He doesn't want to trade back. He says the draft is with NIL and some of your top players in college sticking around in college a little longer because of getting NIL money. Like, just look at the Buckeyes. Right. You know what I mean? He said the back ends of the drafts don't have as much talent as they used to. So he doesn't want to trade back to accumulate later round picks. I guess my only pushback to that is AB has shown a tendency to use those extra late round picks to get guys like Za'Darius Smith, Judy, Amari Cooper. Exactly. That kind of. So just because we were to trade back and accumulate some picks doesn't mean we're planning on stockpiling them as draft picks. We might be looking to convert them into proven players.
Which he does very often.
Yeah. So me, I just don't want to trade back because if we're doing a draft episode, I don't want to sit there forever. And I guess that we pick early in the second. No, we don't.
No, it's like the 20th pick in the 54. Yeah.
So, I don't want to trade back. That would suck. If we sit there all night and then we don't even make a pick.
Right.
So, well, that's just some of the things we want to get into this week. We'll go ahead and wrap this thing up right around the hour mark. We appreciate you guys being here. Pretty lively chat. I don't know how we looked numbers wise, but it felt good. It felt fun, even without Justin.
Good to hear from everybody.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody in here talking football, even in the dead of the off season. So we appreciate you guys being here. Again, remember, if you want to get your intros and stuff on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com/leave voicemail. If you're local to Canton, be on the lookout. We potentially have some cool news. So make sure you keep watching episodes because we'll have some cool local things going on. So if you're in Stark, Summit County, Tuscarawas County, make sure you guys have the notification bell tapped on YouTube so you don't miss any of the content we put out. So
I did want to mention
some of this news.
We're 10 subscribers away from 9,000.
Yes. So
if you're watching this and you're not subscribed to the channel, please just subscribe, tap the notification bell, help us get to 9,000. We're so close. We've been trying to get to 9K for a couple months and we're just about there.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Again, we appreciate everybody who's been here. I remember doing episodes for 10 people.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you guys being here and hanging out with us in the off season. Make sure you guys have that notification bell again so you don't miss any of the content we're putting out. Check out the dog pack, all that good stuff. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.